Well, it's Father's Day. You know that. You've probably already talked to your dad. You've probably already texted him or something along that line. Or dads, you've probably received something from your kids already, some kind of word of encouragement or happy Father's Day. I had the privilege of having my dad at youth camp this year. Dad and mom both were there. And at one point, they were talking about sticking around through the weekend, staying camp meeting until tomorrow. And I thought, well, that'll be good. I could maybe convince Dad to come home with me. He could be here with me for Father's Day. And I might even have been able to twist his arm. If I got him down here, I could probably have twisted his arm to preach one of the services. But they decided to head out back east, go back east yesterday. Been a long time since I've been with my dad on Father's Day. I was trying to remember when it would have been. And I guess the last that I can think of that it probably would have been would be in 1986, I think, was probably the last time that I was with Dad on Father's Day. There may be some other time in between there, but I'm not recalling it. Maybe you'd like to give special honor, recognition, special words for your dad this morning. Now don't act like that you didn't think about it. Surely you came thinking that there'd be some opportunity. Just nobody wants to be first, is that it? You know, we have a bunch of youngins around here. Mark Sankey mentioned it last Sunday night. If you didn't hear Mark Sankey's message, I challenge you or encourage you to get on the church site and listen to his message. It was an excellent message on prayer. And he mentioned about all the kids were running around last Sunday afternoon as he went to the Damons for lunch. All these little kids running around mean that there's dads. Thank God for these dads. Some are younger dads, just starting out. Some may not have actually started out yet, married, no kids along the way just yet. You know, it's so important. I preached a Father's Day message in Evansville a number of years ago, the sacred position of fathers. You know, that's a reality. It's kind of difficult for me to stand here and preach about fatherhood. But I guess my kids are getting a little bit older. Things are changing in that respect, but We hold a tremendous responsibility. Just as I mentioned there a little bit about what Mason was saying, that foundation that is being built. And he doesn't understand what those lessons that Dad's teaching him really involve. But that is a foundation that is necessary. You know, I just came from youth camp. I came from a group of young people that there is a large part of them that can't point to dads like ours. I think I may have shared this before, but it's worth repeating. 16 jabs you should never use on your kids. 16 jabs you should never use on your kids. Number one, you'll never amount to anything. Don't ever say it. I would challenge you, even don't even think it. Number two, you got what you deserved. Number three, what's wrong with you? Number four, here's a Boy, this one might step on my toes here. You can't do anything right. Number five, all you ever do is cause trouble. Number six, just wait until you have kids. I'm not real sure why that one's in there. I know my mom used that one on me, but you're going to get paid back, John. Wait till you have kids. Well, according to this, you shouldn't say that, but I might be able to understand it. Number seven, when will you ever learn? I think that probably comes from a heart that is stretched, strained. You know, we learn at different levels and at different paces. Some are easier to coach than others. And those difficult ones might just stretch our patience to the very limit, and where we would say, when will you ever learn? Here's a good one. Mark it down. Number eight. Don't ever say you're stupid. We got some teachers here this morning. Teachers, is that ever a good thing to say to a student? To a kid? Even if they cannot get a better grade than a D or an F, it's not about stupidity. That'll knock them down further yet. Number nine. I don't know if I'm guilty of this or not. I don't think I've ever said it. You'll be the death of me yet. Number 10. You need to have your head examined. I understand that these are probably stress-related words. Number 11. You don't care about anything. Number 12, what makes you think you're so special? Number 13, I can't wait until you're out of here. What does that do to a kid? What does that do to the child? Can't wait till you're out of here. Number 14, why can't you be more like your brother or your sister? That's a tough one. Number 15, I don't know why I had kids. Number 16, how could you do this to me? Did you ever get tempted to say something like that? How could you do this to me? One of the things that I would add to that particular thought is, don't ever be embarrassed by what your kid did. If they know that you're embarrassed, that they are an embarrassment to you, probably isn't going to be a beneficial thing. It's probably going to hurt more than it'll help. But that's on the negative side of things. What about the positive side? We always want to look at the positive side. And the positive side would be that we as dads need to be teachers. Or if you want to look at it that another way, coaches. To be a teacher or a coach. See, a good teacher, a good parent, a good dad is going to help their children see what they can be rather than what they are. All of us dads need to make sure we get that. Help our children to see what they can be rather than what they are. Now, I know that some are easier to teach or coach, or they learn faster than others. You know, I've got three kids. You know my kids. All three of them have different demeanors. All three of them have different personalities. Janae was very pliable. It didn't take very long at all for the look to have its effect. Jonathan could quickly turn away from the look. Caleb could stare the look down. You know, it's just so different in their way. Some of you know what I mean when I say that those challenging moments when the child is testing you, when you said no to this or yes to that and they didn't want to, so the challenge becomes a very real challenge. Sometimes the child will give in just to be over with it, but it's not over. It's still in the heart, brewing. So what are some good things, some tips on being a good teacher, a good father? Number one would be alert and watch for those teachable moments. That sounds good and looks good on paper, sounds good from the pulpit, but it becomes a big issue when we're trying to find those things. Find those, be alert and find those things. Watch for those things that are teachable moments. But the only way that we can do that, the only way that that'll be effective in our lives is if we are close to our children. We are actively involved with our kids. Actively involved with our children. I don't know how Susanna Wesley did what she did. Spending so much time individually with her kids. But I can pretty well assure you that we would not have all the spiritual blessing that we have in songs and writings if it had not been for that great effort to be involved with her children. You say, preacher, you've shifted gears. It's not Mother's Day. Well, it's the principle that I'm trying to get across. Actively involved into the lives of our children. The second aspect would be for us to have our children actively involved with us or our lives. Maybe. It doesn't always. You can't always do it this way, but I like it at least when I've seen it there at the print shops. These kids running all day long around the print shop, and in between some playtime or whatever, somewhere along the line they are being taught that here's a job for you. Playtime begins to diminish and work time increases as that child gets older, but. It's the activity. You know, I know Chad can't take his kids to work with him, at least not too often. That's not going to be too good. Or is it Caterpillar that you work for, Troy? They're not going to be too happy if you bring Devin into work, would it? They say, he doesn't belong in here. I don't think Adam would be too happy to... In some of his places, anyway, at work, you wouldn't want the kids to be wandering around those machines too much, but there's probably some places that'd be okay. You know, and you look around, Travis, I guess he's training his kids that way. He's got his kids there. He's able to. But whatever avenue, whatever venue, we must be involved, actively involved with them, and they actively involved with us. I read recently of an interview where the individual said that I don't get to see my family every day, but at least once a week. And I'm thinking, whoa, how, can I just say it boldly? How terrible that is. It doesn't work that way. You see, we are called upon dads, moms, but dads this morning... to have an active role in the lives of our children. And if we are farming them out to somebody else, more than what we have, farming isn't the right word, you say. They're kids, but not goat kids. But, you know, if we're putting them on somebody else, the very next one that I want to mention is be available. And if we're only spending one time a week with our children, then it's hard for us to be available. We must be available for them to communicate with us and us with them. We also must be able to have fun with our children. We must be able to have fun with our children. We also can tell our story to our children. Whatever our story is. Now, caution would be necessary if the story is coming from deep, deep sin, dark times and places of sin. Then, you know, don't go into all of those details, but tell our story to our children. Let them know that God's grace is either good enough and strong enough and sufficient enough to meet all of our needs and all of our circumstances, either way, whether depths of sin or saved from the church pew. Don't necessarily hide our mistakes, but use our mistakes to teach them. Be honest with our children. And again, now, tragedies and huge mistakes must be done very carefully. We don't want to scar our kids and point them into that direction of thinking that they must have a testimony of darkness as well. We don't need that. We don't want that. Proverbs has few words to say to us about training children, being teachers to children, coaches to children. One of the things that Proverb writer has given to us about our children is that we are to train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so often we think that if we just raise them in the environment of the church and take them to Sunday school, as wonderful as that is and as necessary as that is not the main key. I'm not going off the deep end here. It's not the main key. It is a vital aspect. It is a tool that God has given us to use in training and teaching our children. But you see, it's much bigger than that. That is just a portion of our responsibility to train them and to raise them in the environment of the church and Christian living and fellowship with other Christians and teaching them in Sunday school. Allowing the Sunday school teacher to have an influence in their lives, not making the Sunday school teacher the focal point of the influence of their lives. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Doesn't mean that if I bring them to church two times on Sunday and one time on Wednesday and every night of revival and have them in Sunday school class, that in itself is going to be sufficient, that when they get out there on their own, they may turn their back on God, but eventually they're going to come back. Just wash that out of your mind. Because what it means is that our children are designed by God with certain strengths and certain gifts, and it's our responsibility to find those strengths and find those gifts and to teach them the way that they are to go. And it's just as vital for us to find their gifts as what it is for us to realize what their gifts aren't or the gifts that they don't have, so that they're not chasing something that they're not going to be able to make themselves useful in. Find their gifts and find their strengths and point them in the direction that they are to go. And along with that, as I've mentioned here, find their weaknesses. Parenting, dads, huge responsibility. But in order for us to find their strengths and their gifts, it's so important that we spend time with them. Because if we don't spend time with them, then we can't know them. It's so important for us to find the strengths of our children. It's so important for us to realize who they are. Yes, dads, we have a tremendous responsibility in that. And all of our kids are different. Very few of them are similar or exactly alike, for sure. But as we are dads and the responsibility that we have upon our shoulders, we must discipline them, yes. We must teach them, yes. We must give them boundaries. We must give them consequences. Consequences. That is a vital part of giving them discipline and giving them instruction and giving them boundaries. We can give all three of these things, but if we fail for them or fail them in giving them consequences, then we have failed them in the previous three. You may ask me what I mean by consequences or what is meant by consequences. It's simply that if they don't follow the rule, that there's consequence. So many kids today believe, they grow up believing that if they fuss enough and cry long enough and whine loud enough, that mom or dad's going to give in. Dad's going to give in. Consequences. You can almost guarantee that when certain so-and-so, whoever it may be that comes to your mind, whoever it might be, and starts to cry about something, you can almost mark it down that, you know, 10 minutes later or 15 minutes later or however long it is, the kid's going to get what they want because that's what they're taught. I don't know why they don't just give it to them right off the bat. I guess they gives them a little bit of encouragement to wait it out for a little bit. But it'd end a whole lot of fussing if they just go ahead and give in right away. Because eventually they're going to give in anyway because there's no consequence. There isn't any boundary. Rules are necessary. Regulations have a place. But it is difficult, if not impossible, for our children to reach their full potential if they don't have clearly defined boundaries. If they don't have clearly defined boundaries, make those boundaries age appropriate. Make those boundaries clearly defined. Make those boundaries consistent. And give appropriate consequences to those boundaries. You see, dads, we hold a sacred position because all of this comes into play, into the thinking, into the minds of our children. They will learn about our Heavenly Father by the example of our life. They will learn either to love Him or to not love Him. They will find it easy to love Him or hard to love Him. So often based upon the example of our lives. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Somewhere in that verse, there's a key of success. Somewhere in that verse is a strength for you and I to get a hold of. My kids aren't in yet. I'm fully aware of that. said a lot of things here this morning about our raising our children. All of these, I believe fully that these are necessities. These are important parts. But it all must be surrounded by another thing. Anybody want to take a guess at what that could be? Someone may say love. Yeah, that's true. Someone may say support. Yes, that's true. Someone may say that it's necessary to use the belt. Yes, that's true. And yet there's another thing that is so vital, and that is that we build a wall of prayer about our kids. Build a wall of prayer around our children. See, dads, we must pray our kids in if we're going to get them in. Prayer is the key. All of these other things fit in the puzzle. May God help us to be men of prayer, praying for our children, seeking the spiritual welfare of our kids. Not being caught up in all the secular things around us, but prayer, seeking God, that we could be the better father, the best father. Train our children up in the nurture and the admonition of God. The writer in Deuteronomy said, talk about things when we're at the table, and talk about things when we're going to bed, and talk about things when we get up in the morning, and talk about it and write it, and all of those things, instruction. Happy Father's Day, dads. Let's be the best that we can be for the sake of our children. Let's stand together. We are blessed with so many dads here, a vast age bracket, and it's hard to pick out just one to dismiss in prayer. So let me pick out a wife of one. How about that? Sister Ruth, would you dismiss us this morning?